Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So Anna was looking through the press recently, looking for all sorts of issues that may or may not be of interest to you. I came across an article in, I think it was IOL, talking about Professor David Benneter, philosophy professor at the University of Cape Town. Professor Benneter has just released a book entitled The Fall of the University of Cape Town. And I thought, my goodness me, there are a lot of us who are very connected to that institution one way or another. Wouldn't be surprised if a significant amount of people listening to Chai FM are actually graduates of that university. So I thought, let's talk to Professor Benneter and understand why is he saying what he is saying. On the line is Professor David Benneter, philosophy professor at UCT. Professor, thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you.
So that's a hell of a controversial book that you went out and wrote.
Yes, I'm sorry it was necessary, but things have been rather bad at the University of Cape Town for a number of years, and I thought it was necessary to put it on record and to also partly correct the record, because some of what we've seen in the media has either been inadequate or inaccurate.
So it is a university that is regularly ranked as one of the top in Africa and in South Africa. What's led you to the conclusions that you've arrived at and why?
Well, I think we need to be careful about those rankings. I'm not suggesting that it has fallen in the rankings, and I'm not suggesting that it will imminently do so. Those rankings are based on measurements of particular factors, and I think the factors that I highlight in the book are those that are going to be passing beneath the radar of those who are doing the rankings. The kind of problem that we have is really a toxic environment where people are silenced. If people do dare speak out against the orthodox line, then they pay an important social price for that. And it's just generally led to the decline in intellectual inquiry at the university.
Is that any different from any other institution of higher learning? I mean, one reads about what's happening in United States universities, and it seems to be the exact same issues. Prof, are we having connectivity issues here this afternoon?
No, I saw you were muted, so I didn't hear what you said after I answered the last question.
Oh, sorry. I was asking you about the fact as to whether, in fact, that is not a generalized phenomenon that's happening across most countries, most first world countries, thinking specifically of universities in the United States and United Kingdom, where people are shut down for having a contrary view. Why is it any different?
Good. I think that's a very good point you make, and it is something I've considered and that I raise in the book. There certainly is a problem, especially at Anglophone universities around the world. It's harder to say about all universities. And I don't know to what extent the problems that I'm seeing at UCT look larger precisely because I'm up close and I'm seeing them first person. So part of what the goal of this book is to present the details of what's going on. And then others who have experiences firsthand of other institutions can read this and then see whether they think their institutions are as bad or not quite as bad or worse. And I've begun to hear from people elsewhere. So far, the suggestion is that what's going on here is worse than elsewhere, but I've only heard from a very small sample, and it'll be interesting to hear from more.
When do you date the origin of the problem? Was there a particular turning point at which things started to go wrong, or has it just been a gradual process?
I think the turning point was around the Rhodes Must Fall protests, although I do in the book indicate that I think the seeds of the problem go much further back in time. So in 2015, we saw a distinctive turn. Look, I want to clarify that I'm not holding up the idea of Rhodes a statue. I don't think that there's an a priori view we ought to hold about whether the statue should have remained or been removed. But I do think that there are processes, intellectual processes, that one should go through in determining whether a statue should remain. So I'll say something briefly about this. If we want to put statues up and keep statues only for perfect people, we won't have any statues. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, of course, we don't want to honor with statues those people who have behaved in really abhorrent ways. And so we need to have some kinds of principle for deciding when we're going to remove statues and when we don't. Oh, I didn't see that sort of careful, rational deliberation about the removal of the statue. What I saw was a response to a political protest. And when a university starts to make decisions in non-intellectual ways, then you know there's something to worry about. And I started to worry very significantly at that point. And the worries that I have seem to have been well-founded.
It's interesting to me, and I don't know enough about this particular subject, but if I think back to the student rebellions in France in the 1960s, if I look at the what's going on with universities in the south of America, it seems to me that that is exactly what universities do. They're quite reactive to the political currents of the time, and I'm not sure that the decision-making process is, perhaps it should be, but as you are suggesting, it ought to be reasoned, rational, and principled.
Another good point. Look, I don't think that any part of human society is immune to the forces around it. And I don't think it's the case that universities always live up to the ideals that they should be living up to. So it's a question of just how far off the mark they become. I do think that there's some distinctive features in South Africa that make the scenario more worrying and more damaging. Often in other societies, there's a broader context which sometimes pushes back against the excesses of the university. I don't feel that we have that in South Africa. It looks like the noxious forces at universities are congruent with the noxious, powerful forces in the broader society. And so there's really no counterweight to the problems that we're seeing. Now, I should also say that it's not always the case that the counterweight is to be welcomed and desired. So in the United States, for example, where we do see this kind of problem, and when you get pushback from, let's say, the Trump administration, the kind of pushback that you're getting is really a reactionary kind. It's not an intellectual reaction of its own. It's really motivated by conservative politics. So I'm not saying that it's always good to have a counterweight, but there's some value in it, and I don't think we're seeing that here.
You are, in actual fact, kind of taking on your employers to a certain extent. Have you had adverse reactions? Has there been massive pushback to the publication of your book?
Not yet, but perhaps that will come. Look, the thing about South Africa is, for all the problems that we have, including in our universities, we do at least notionally have freedom of expression and academic freedom. These are enshrined in our legal documents. And so by rights, I should be protected as long as I've not done anything illegal. And I've been very careful not to do anything I ought not to be doing. I'm speaking my mind and I'm backing that up with facts. I'm not speaking untruths. And so that should be protected. And I hope that the people who don't like what I've said will recognize that. They're welcome to push back in terms of giving me arguments, in terms of telling me why they think that I've got the facts wrong. And then we can have an argument or a debate about that. I do fortunately still have that freedom of expression, which people in many other parts of the world don't have. There are many much more repressive societies than ours where people don't have that freedom.
Professor Benito, thank you for joining us on Chai FM. That was an interesting chat this afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.